Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Everybody, and welcome back to Guild Mateys with our intrepid three shipwrecked sailors. How are you three doing today?
Doing quite well, I think.
We'll see how it goes.
You're lost in the jungle, so, you know.
Shit happens.
All right. So, when we last left off, Q, excuse my poor French accent, was talking to Lady Arbol on the beach while Arthur was quite lost in the jungle. And Sinead was tripping.
I was having a dream. I wasn't tripping. I didn't take any mushrooms or anything.
That you know of. What'd you eat at that feast? I don't know. You should have.
I ate like meat. So unless was laced with some sort of hallucinogenic drug, then no.
It's the nitrates.
they must have marinated it in something crazy. traditional recipe. But we are back on the beach, and the lady of the island with no name bestowed some troubling news upon you, Q. She said that you all are already dead. What would you have to say to that?
What?
And would you like to reply in any manner?
No, I just say, what?
Oh, sorry, I thought that was Amelia talking. That's on me. She goes, well, you're dead. You're lost souls on this island of no name. You're deceased, gone.
How?
I should have told you sooner, but wrecking your ship was the only way to preserve the progress we've made on this island for so far. And we were hoping you wouldn't die, but you would have made it to the island on either way, given the rules. Many of the souls you've met today are already dead. There's not much of a line on this island between the living and the dead. And I'm sorry that your sacrifice had to contribute to our cause, but I promise it's a worthy cause, my friend Q.
Wait. So, you caused our ship to wreck, which killed us, which brought us to this island?
She extends her arms out towards the sea and then thrusts them up in the air, and then giant tidal waves about a half a mile away, you can see them, thrust upward into the sky, at least 200 meters, and then slam into each other. And she says, it's not as easy as it looks, but yeah, it wasn't too much of a problem.
But why?
Well, I don't know what you know about your Vodachan friend, but if both sides thinks he's dead, and then she trails off and then says, I forgive me, I must go.
No, you don't get to just go.
I am going to reach out for her arm.
Okay, that's going to be... wait a minute. Let's see. I think that's... Is that... I guess that's...
I would say panache. I don't know.
I'm trying to... Are you focusing on convincing her with your words, or are you like physically grabbing her? Or I guess, you know, maybe let's do both. This is 7th C. Roll me panache plus brawl,
or panache athletics. Plus brawl.
Let's do panache plus athletics, because
panache plus athletics. Okay, why don't you tell me about the raises here?
Okay, so
do I get plus one? Me... Right, because it's what? A new skill. I get an extra
yes,
die.
Yes, new skill. This is a new session, so no one's used anything yet. So athletics, you get a plus. So here's the thing: it's a risk. If you don't get any raises, she's gonna raise the water up and just like slap you with the water away from her as she runs into the sea. If you get one raise, you can dodge it, but she still gets away. If you can give me two raises, then you can stop her for a minute. If you can give me three, you can pull her back. And if you get more than that, you can of course bank them for later.
Okay. I have two raises.
Okay. So you're gonna stop her for a moment. You're gonna duck the she water bends the copyright. The water out of the ocean right towards you. Q ducks perfectly, and you get her to stop for one more moment. You get her attention. What would you like to do with her attention?
I want to say you can't just kill people and then apologize and walk off. That's not how this works.
She says, "What? I'm not sure there's anything I can do. You guys, it's a long journey back to the world of the living if you want to get your bodies back, and I can't help you there."
Well, you could maybe explain a few more things. You could tell us about the journey. You could tell us why you wanted to kill the Vodachi man.
So she starts to get a little irritated, and she says, "I just need both sides of that war to think he's dead. I do not have to share with you why.
I'm you trying killed to protect me. You don't think this... you owe me the reason why I'm dead?"
"I'm trying to protect this island. But if you guys want to go back home, I understand." And she takes out a seashell and says, "This will lead you back. Just go into the ocean, and in the minute you and your friends can no longer see this island, hold it to your heart, and you'll be back in the world of the living." Then she melts into water.
I'm gonna try and, as she's melting, like, stop her. I know I can't, but...
it's like the thing at like a public pool with like the water fountains shooting up from the ground. You grab it, like the water, and it like stops it for a second, and like a little pool like builds up in your hands as it trickles down between your fingers. Or the fountains at TU, also the fountains at TU. and as it pours out of your hands and into the ocean, you're left there alone. It is almost dawn, and there is a full moon. We are now moving back to Rob, who's with Giuseppe Vivaldi and is hella lost. Could not tell you which way is north or south. Rob, how's it going? Or, I'm sorry, Arthur.
Okay, Giuseppe, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here. I think that we are utterly lost. So, fuck.
He goes, at least we ain't dead, am I right? So then he starts taking things out of his pocket, looking for a compass, and he eventually finds one. The compass is spinning around in circles like a helicopter blade. He goes, "So, what do you think of that?"
You know, either your compass is broken, or this island is magical beyond all belief and we're already fucked.
Arthur's having a really bad day. Goodness. Giuseppe's like, "Hey, you might have a point there, my friend." You can see he's been opening up to you a little bit more because of that conversation you guys had earlier. So I want you guys to... He's going to help you out. So he's helping you, so add two d10s to this roll. Okay. And I want you to roll wits plus scholarship. Yeah, wits plus scholarship to see if he can use, like, the moss on the trees and stuff and navigate your way back to the beach to join Sinead.
Okay, so I get... You said I get two extra d10s for this?
Yep, because okay. I'm just factoring in. I'm too lazy to roll for him.
Well... I appreciate it. My scholarship score is zero.
it's a good thing Giuseppe's hella educated.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right, not bad, not bad. Okay, right, that
so
is...
So you're going to need a three to get out.
Okay, so what are the consequences for the other raises?
If you get a zero, we're going to have to send Q and... Sinead back to get you, and they won't be happy about that. If you can get a one, then you guys will get back, but you'll take a lot of really weird detours and end up taking some wounds because you like fall into quicksand, you know, like you guys scrape your knees, the usual kind of thing. If you can give me a two, you guys get back and only get one wound apiece. If you can give me a three, you get back, no problem, straight arrow.
Okay, I got two raises.
All right, so you guys make it back to the beach. Each of you takes one wound. On your way back, Giuseppe, not the most... He's very street or very book smart because of his education. Not the most street smart. He grabs onto a branch that happens to be a snake, which non-venomous, which tags both of you guys on your legs before you guys can run away from it.
Not venomous, I hope.
Non-venomous. You guys are fine. Bleeding, but... not poisoned. So now we are back. The morning sun is rising. Sinead is in her hut. Q is on the beach. And good old Arthur Windflagon makes his way out of the jungle onto the beach. You guys are now all in the same place again after your misadventures of the evening. What would you like to do?
Ooh, what a night. So, how was your frolicking, Q?
I point to Giuseppe, right? That's his name?
Yes, Giuseppe.
Yeah, I point to Giuseppe, and I say, "Who are you, really?"
He shrugs and he goes, "I'm Giuseppe. I'm from Vodaci. What do you got to know about it? That's it."
I need to know about your history. What are you? You're a prince, right?
It took a lot for him to open up to Arthur, so I'm going to need you to convince him to talk to you as well. Give me convince plus panache, please.
Convince? Oh, I'm actually good at convince.
Awesome. And don't forget to add your bonus because it's the first time you've used convince.
Okay, let's see. Ooh, you'll love to see it. Okay.
So you're going to need it. You're going to need a two to pull this one off. Well, he already opened out at once. I'll give you a one, and anything over one, you get to... Anything over one, you can bank for later.
Oh, dope. Okay, how does math work? I have three, so I will bank two raises for later.
Awesome.
And use this.
Don't forget
this.
You have those.
Yeah, I got it. and then, yeah. I'll use my little 10 that I rolled for this one.
Nice. Well done. Don't you get, if you roll a 10, you get a bonus die, right?
What? Has that been a thing this whole time?
Yeah, I forget to remind you guys because I can't see the dice you're rolling as I would if we were in person and not distancing.
Right, okay, well then, how many raises did I say I had?
3, so then you get to roll another die to see if you can... So if you got, like, a 34, you can roll another d10, get a 6.
Okay. That would put me over to another raise.
Awesome. So you now have 4 raises?
Yes.
Well done. Okay, you got 3 raises banked for later.
Cool.
Well done. So you... For some reason, nobody in this entire ocean has any problem telling Q their life story, which is a weird.
I'm a very good listener, and I have a very disarming presence.
Yeah, seriously, like the for some that's it's really incredible. It's a gift. Giuseppe tells Q loud enough for Sinead to hear it about his story and how. He's the son of the wealthiest man in all of Odachi, and there's brewing conflict between the political leader of Odachi and the wealthiest man, and they are having a war. Both of them claim Giuseppe as their son, and so he was tired of being caught up on all that, and he decided to run away from home, which... you know, could possibly escalate conflict, but he was tired of being a part of it. So he grabbed some of his bodyguards and stowed away on a ship and has run away from home. And then he woke up here. And to his knowledge, the war is probably still going on. Both of them want Giuseppe as their heir.
So do you think that going back, could you fix it?
He says, it would definitely de-escalate the war. I mean, since I wasn't planning on going missing, I was just going to run away for a while and come back. But, I mean, if I'm stuck on this island for a while, they're probably both going to blame each other, and that'll really escalate the war. They're probably going to think the other one assassinated. During this conversation, Sinead, you're inside the hut, right?
Yeah, I was in the hammock. I don't know if that was
the hammock, not the inside.
Inside
hammock,
or outside the hut, but yeah, I was in the hammock.
So in the hammock, you can see that there is a small storm brewing above. By the way, since you're lying facing upward,
I call out. You think we should get inside? Storm's brewing.
Giuseppe goes. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind going back to that that big hall over there with all the food. I mean, I don't see no reason why not.
I don't know if we're still welcome there.
Why wouldn't we be?
Yeah, what are you talking about? You became the champion when you bested their champion in the arena of Four Shadows.
Besides, yeah. Did you just spend all night being cozy with the leader?
can you hold up special rules? I wanna see if you blush. Can you roll me a d10?
What am I trying for here? High number and low number.
I just want to see if you blush.
I got a 5.
Okay, you can turn a little toasted, but not super obviously. I was hoping you get a 1. You go like beet red. Continue.
Yes. Let's go inside the hut for the time being to talk through the rest of this.
I would tell you, I almost gave you a hero point for that great question for dodging that conversation. that's almost like you could get bonus die in your next finesse check. So, do you guys heed her suggestion and go into the hut?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, Arthur's dead tired after hiking through the jungle all night, so...
Sinead is nice and rested.
Q did not get a great night's sleep because after that conversation, they just sort of laid down on the beach next to the water instead of going back to the hut.
That is... Honestly, that is exactly what I think they should have done. Long night. So you all head into the hut, and Sinead is glowing. her hair is like wind tossed. She looks like she got great. There's no bags under her eyes. She looks like she just went to a spa.
It's that ocean air, man. Who needs a 10-step routine?
And you guys all head into the hut.
Okay. Do any of you have any idea where we are?
Not a clue?
Giuseppe just kind of shakes his head.
I haven't the slightest.
Why'd you ask? Okay. Do you know something?
Yes. So, we're all kind of dead. We're in a weird sort of limbo place where...
What do you mean, dead?
Okay, so do you know what being alive is?
Yes, I know what being alive
is. So just imagine not being that anymore.
Right, so I understand the concept, although I imagine my death to be a bit more violent stab wound, fade to black, and enormous pain to ultimate nothingness type of deal. But I feel very much alive, so not inclined to understand what you're saying.
Instead of like violent stab wound, I think it was violent shipwreck. And instead of nothingness, we washed up on this island, which I think is some sort of liminal space between living and dead.
Oh, like the Fae Plains.
Kind of, but different than the Fae Plains, I think.
So like, Arthur, like, kind of, like stays quiet for a second, tries to feel whether or not he can still kind of feel the Grail's blessing inside of him, which is, like, his Fae magic source. And he feels, like, kind of a tingle. And he's like, okay, interesting. I guess we might be dead, but we can still act. Is there any way for us to be undead, or perhaps not dead anymore?
Yeah, I think undead isn't what we're going for. I think, like, real life is, like, the branding that we want.
Yeah, it seems like a step backwards.
If you guys wanted to be an undead pirate crew, I mean, I'm down for it.
I don't want to be a zombie. I don't want to be a zombie either.
Okay, I'm just saying, it was on the table.
15-year-old zombie is too depressing.
Like, I'm just saying, like, I know you're the GM, like, you can take what happens, but if you make my character ugly ever, I will consider that a personal attack.
I will remember that in the future.
So how are we all feeling with that information? What are your thoughts? Apparently we died because this kid over here started a war by running away.
Well, I'd rather not be dead.
Okay, that's me, you, anyone else on the rather not be dead wagon?
We could put to a vote, you know, if you guys...
Mixed feelings on the being dead thing. Being alive kind of sucks anyway. But I am a big believer...
Rob.
I am a big believer of getting off this island regardless, and if that happens to make us alive or no longer dead, then I'm all for it. Besides, I think this man has some political cleaning up to do back with his father, so...
So yes. I'm counting that as a yes vote. Awesome. What about you?
It's a very British yes. It's a full Little paragraph Prince. That says yes.
Giuseppe he looks at you three and says... I can only imagine what the world of the living looks like right now. I mean, think about it. They're all going to think that the other side assassinated me to take away the other's heir. There's no way the war hasn't already started. And he looks kind of down at his feet, realizing how many people have died because he ran away. We gotta get me home.
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right, so. after your morning meeting, you guys hear some rustling in the jungle behind you. And the Lady Arval happens to be walking through with an entourage, about 3 or 4 guards. The first guard knocks on the hut door, which is... just like a few bamboo sticks, like you can see him right through the door. It's not really a door, but you get the point.
I mean, we opened the door, right?
Yes, he says, Her Highness would like to speak with the four of you. She senses that you are all up to date on your situation.
Yeah, well, telling us that we were dead could have been like a first priority before doing the games and the drinking and the eating, but hey, yeah, we're up to date.
Lady Arbol actually overhears you and comes up. She like brushes the guard out of the way, and she stands in the doorway and says, I wanted you all to stay. I wanted you to enjoy staying here, and I apologize if it was not the right thing to do.
You know, I'm not saying there are less pleasurable places to end up dead. I do take a bit of issue with the whole murdering us thing and then trying to keep us in your home. Seems a little bit possessive. So, if you could point us to the door, that would be wonderful, and we'll be on our way.
Hey, don't be rude to her.
She killed us! What do you want from me?
I am not thrilled on being killed, but, you know, people make mistakes.
Alrighty then, still looking for that door.
She says, I will show you how to leave the island. Understand that if you knew why I did it, then you would have done the same thing. If you were in my position.
Don't know if I'd have killed innocent people.
She looks ashamed. She says, I did everything I could to make your stay enjoyable. I gave you guys a massive jungle here for Arthur to explore. I gave all the time in the world and the place for your friend from Inishmore to run and play. And I even made myself as beautiful as I could for Q. And I was really hoping that you guys would really enjoy staying here. I did everything I could to make this not a miserable experience. And then she leaves with her guards, walks down to the beach. The last guard to leave motions from the door for you guys to follow them.
All right, Arthur starts walking towards them.
Okay. When Her Highness reaches the beach, she waves her hands, and there's bubbles at first, and then almost a boiling sensation, bubbles and bubbles on the surface of the ocean, and then a small ship resurrects from the depths. It's got a single mast. It looks like it could be staffed by two people. It looks like it can fit about four, but it is a sturdy ship. It's in not great repair, but the water around the ship looks like it's repairing it as pieces of it that were on the bottom of the ocean floor start to put themselves back into place. The sailcloth knits itself back together, and a giant sun is now emblazoned on the sail. It drops its anchor and is about wading distance from the beach. And she turns to you four and says, this will be your ship back home. Please be safe.
Well, we appreciate the lift. And Arthur starts wading into the ocean to get to the ship.
Q would like to walk up to her and say, who are you? Or what are you?
She says, I don't think I can bring myself to tell you my story yet. But I've been here a long time. And I can promise you that we'll meet again and I can tell you everything. It's not terribly hard for me to find people when they're at the sea. And I'll visit you when the time is right. Just suffice it to say, I'm a daughter of the ocean. And that's what you need to know right now.
Q kisses her on the cheek and says, until next time. Yeah, and begins wading toward the boat.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're having a good day. Welcome back to the Mid-Roll Announcements. I hope you're enjoying the episode, but yeah, it's time for this week's announcements. Let's get into it. Once again, it's time to shout out the wonderfully talented Will Savino for providing today's music. The links to the song names and his Patreon are in the episode description. Our merch is at merch.guildfellows.com, and our Patreon is at patreon.com/guildfellows. If you want to support us monetarily and get some cool stuff in the meantime, go visit those two links. Find our social media at Guildfellows on Twitter and Instagram. We are on the road to 1,000 followers on Twitter, and we'll be doing a big, big giveaway once that happens, so make sure that you don't miss any of that and hit that follow button. If you want to help us grow for free, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. It helps us grow so much. The next episode will be up on the 22nd. We're flying through this year, folks. We hope you're doing okay and staying safe. We love you all, and I will see you next time. Have I told you guys about Anchor? If you haven't heard about it, let me explain. It's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's a free app that you can find in your phone's app store. It gives you creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone or your computer. Let it be known that you don't need a professional setup to start a podcast. Anchor distributes your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and tons of other platforms. You can make money from your podcasts with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. We use Anchor for our podcast, and as the one who edits and posts our episodes, it honestly makes my job so much easier. I really and truly love it. If you're looking to start your own podcast, I highly recommend using Anchor to do so. You can download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I refuse to call it a ship.
Yeah, in hindsight, I guess it's more of a boat. Sinead?
Yeah, I follow behind Arthur.
For a moment, I was thinking about the possibility that Sinead was going to, like, word for word, action for action, copy Q. That just really tickled me. Sinead's like, we've only known each other for a short time, but I didn't feel a connection.
But I feel like I've known you my whole life. No, Sinead's very suspicious right now.
That makes sense. God, I love these characters. Yeah. These characters make me laugh so much.
I'm always waiting for Sinead to like throw a punch. Like I feel like it's a negative stereotype, but it's...
she might. It'll happen. I'm sure.
I'm sure.
She's probably gonna punch Arthur if anybody.
God, I hope
you still have to call him
Sir Arthur.
What was it?
I haven't spoken to him session. Yet.
I'm just a reminder.
Sinead just never speaks to Arthur again.
It's like, yeah, that's my plan.
Can you tell someone this message for me?
It's a fair plan. I mean, you're how old are you again, Sinead?
15.
Honestly, I feel like the silent treatment's about on par for that level of maturity.
Yeah.
And Arthur's like 30, so he's like super not a, like, he like is just like doesn't really play into it. He just doesn't care. Like, he's just like, she's 15. She'll figure it out. I don't know.
And so the likable beyond all reason Q from Not France, Arthur, Windflagon, and the scrappy young kid wade into the ocean. Giuseppo stands there for a minute and has a private conversation inaudible to you three with Her Highness, and then wades in after you guys and joins you guys on the boat. Mm-hmm. We are now going to sail back to the world of the living, everyone, so let's hope you don't shipwreck, because if you die in the world of the dead, you die in real life. well, it's kind of redundant, I suppose.
You die for real this time.
A question, mechanically. Can I, that portal that I made, or that mark I made, can I teleport to that from the world of the living, or will I just have to find out?
That's, you just have to find out.
Awesome. Love the stakes.
That's why whenever you did that in the Arena of Foreshadows, I was like, this is going to be a fun mechanic for later.
Gotcha.
Anyway. So now that you guys are all on the ship, what would each of you like to do? There's many things to do on the ship. You know, someone's got to work, manage the jib. Someone's got to be on the rudder. Someone's got to be on the sail. Someone's got to be looking out. I mean, there's what would the four of you, how do you divide up your duties based off your characters?
I'm very good at looking out.
Sinead looks at the other two and she says, well, do any of you know how to sail a ship? Or am I going to be the captain around here?
I did a stint as a crewman before on a Royal Naval ship, but I was never a captain or anything. Don't really know that much about navigation, though I suppose I could figure it out. I was mostly a rope puller. I pulled ropes, so I guess I'll work on the sails.
Right, you do that then.
I've been on ships a lot, but always had other people to do the shipping part. Not really the physical activity kind of person. More for like brains than brawn, you know?
Right, then I'll be the captain, I guess. And she's going right, to take the captain position.
All right. That makes, that would make the boatswain, or bosun, that's it. I see the pronunciation now, would be, so Giuseppe is actually, he knows a lot about, so if you let him, Giuseppe could be the ship's master, and then, the bosun would be your old, Arthur, and you want to do lookout in case of, enemies, so the master gunner position, Q?
Yeah, totally.
All right, so if you guys have divided up your duties, we have to make sure you guys are good at them. So time for some sailing rolls.
Hell yeah.
You guys are, it's all going to add together, just so you all know. So this is going to be the sailing skill, which none of you have used so far. Good news. And all of you, it's also going to be resolve. It's going to be your resolve against the ocean. It's also a red sky. And that is it's the old sailing superstition. When it's a red sky in the morning, you got to look out. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning, I believe is the phrase.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And it's a full moon at dawn. The sky is bright God. Red. And, you know, there might be some, when you get back to the world of the living, it may not be the greatest weather in the world. All right, so here's how this is going to work. You guys are going to all work together to do your respective positions. We're going to add all your raises together. So we're going to need at least 12 raises to get the ship safely through. The more raises you spend, the less damage your ship will take on a sliding scale down. Your ship has... 12 points of health. So if you get a zero, your ship just sinks and you all die and the campaign's over. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Anything more than that, you guys will be able to bank in case you run into any sea monsters on the way there.
Okay.
Don't forget to roll a second die if you get any tens.
Oh my god. Oh, I've been forgetting about that. Okay.
Oh my god. Okay. I have to add everything.
It's so annoying when you get like a 9 and then get another higher number because it's like, it's wasted.
That's exactly how this game works.
But I still have those 3 raises from earlier, so.
That is true. We haven't left left this session yet. You're still getting back home, so. All right, so who got the highest number? I'm going to guess here. I can't remember who's the highest.
One question real quick. If I roll another 10 on the exploding 10, do I roll it again?
I think so, right?
Yes, I guess so.
That's how explosions work.
Okay, so...
technically, you could do that forever.
I got 6 raises.
Oh my dang goodness. Arthur?
Arthur got 3 raises.
So it's 9. Q?
I have 2 raises plus my 3 from earlier.
Alright, so 6 plus 3 is 9, and then 3, so you guys got 12. You got 2 raises, so you can only need to spend 1 of those.
Okay, so I will just put my 3 raises toward the sun.
Alright then, gotcha. You guys sail... beautifully beautifully into through the treacherous ocean as the wind picks up and the clouds start coming in. Nobody runs it ashore a reef. Well done. Your ship takes no damage. However, Q, I need you to roll notice plus resolve. Well, actually, notice plus wits.
Thank you for that. My wits are better than my resolve.
I remember.
I mean, with how easily you got seduced by a water lady, I would say that your resolve is pretty low, yeah.
So true. Oh, my goodness.
In my defense, she's a pretty water lady.
And she also made herself look as pretty as possible, specific to make sure Hugh had a good time. But, point taken.
Okay, why don't you tell me about raises? What are we working with here?
So, basically, if you get a zero, then you guys are going to have a disadvantage on a possible combat, depending on what you see. Hint, hint, you see something. If you can hit me with a one, then you're not surprised, but it's on even ground. If you can hit me with a two, you guys get to go first. If you can hit me with a three, you guys get an advantage, a small advantage, very small.
Okay. I rolled two raises here, and I will use one of my previous raises for a total of three.
Awesome. So you guys, you notice that you're sneaking up on what looks to be a small, rather large octopus, rather a small kraken, as you will. By krakens, like it's in its adolescence, but in adolescence for these monsters is like 100 years old, so it's not a child.
That's so cute. It's got its little sharp jaws.
It does. You guys can see it just finished off either a couple of humans or a large sea creature. They're kind of indistinguishable at this point, and it's chomping down with its sharp jaws. Blood's going everywhere as it's consuming its catch for the day. You guys are all pretty aware that these things exclusively eat. I don't know why I say exclusively. Indiscriminately eat everything. And you guys are in quite a bit of danger. There is no question whether it will attack your tiny boat. Do you guys choose to attack it while it's not looking?
Does the boat have cannons?
It does not. It has a harpoon. It has a bunch of harpoons.
Okay.
And that is it. And if you guys can, that's all you can see, though. You can look around for more equipment. You would notice cannons, obviously, but you can look around for other items as well that would help you.
Are either of you particularly adept at, weaponry or aiming weaponry for others?
I have.
Arthur starts grabbing some of the harpoons and gathering them to the side of the ship. So he can, like, he'll grab like four or five that he kind of has at the ready. Because he's a big boy. He can definitely huck a spear, or a harpoon, rather. And he's got good aim skills. So.
Yeah, Sinead does the same, but only, like, one or two. She's not as big as Arthur.
While they're doing that, I'm going to look around the ship to see what other assets we might have.
All right, so you're going to roll wits plus notice. Have you used notice yet?
I think I just used notice.
Yes, so actually, yeah, no bonus die.
Yeah. Is this a sequence?
This is a sequence.
Okay. So, is this one of those things where we all need to roll what we're doing and then...
Oh, it's... Yeah. The sequence is about to start. You looking for things is not the sequence yet, sorry.
That's what I was checking. What do I need to do with my raises?
All right, so you will get one extra weapon for each raise that you choose to spend.
Okay. I'll spend two raises.
All right. And bank any extra ones you got for later. You find a blunderbuss hand cannon type thing, which can fire with has exactly one bit of ammunition in it. And you also find an extra large harpoon that can do some extra damage if someone brawny enough can throw it.
Okay. I will give the harpoon to or throw it near our strong English friend, or and the Avalonian friend. and I will keep the blunderbuss.
All right. Giuseppe is going to steer you guys towards it, and we're now going to start a sequence, and let's get going. So, everybody roll what you're going to do to it, and we're going to go by most raises to fewest raises. So, what would you all like to do? Let's start with Arthur.
All right, well, we're going on the attack, so I don't feel bad opening with the first shot here. So I think I'm going to start with not the huge harpoon, because I want to see if I can lure him into a better position by just, like, getting his attention. Because either we're going to hit him and he's going to flee, or we're going to hit him and he's going to come try to tango, at which case it's going to be easier to hit him with the bigger one. So I think I'm just going to try to throw the, like, one harpoon at him, one of the normal ones.
Gotcha. So that's going to be aim plus finesse.
Aim plus finesse. Okay.
Next, we're going to go to Sinead. What's your plan?
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. Just throw one of my harpoons at it.
All right. Aim plus finesse and Q.
I'm going to pop a cap in this Kraken.
Okay. That's going to be aim plus... Hold up. So, I guess that's going to be aim plus brawn to see if you, like, don't get knocked off the boat from the from the force of the gun. Sweet. So, everybody roll those, and let's see who goes first.
Okay, I only got one raise.
All right.
Oh, wait, that's a 10. I can roll another die.
All right, I got 3 raises.
So I have 2 raises, my bad.
3 raises. Awesome.
Arthur also got 3 raises.
Okay, so which one of you between Arthur and
Sinead
had a higher die?
My highest wasn't a 9.
Mine was a 10.
Okay, so Arthur goes first. So, the way combat works, for those of you at home, each raise can inflict a wound, and it's like a 1-to-1 ratio, of course. You can bank it using for later. You can try and help somebody else with their own thing. But as far as causing damage goes, it's 1 raise per wound. Also, the way a firearm works, it takes 5 raises to reload. But it only takes one action to fire it. And anyone shot by a firearm takes 1 dramatic wound, which is what happens when you get up on the death spiral to enough wounds. So it's like multiple wounds at once. And that is how this works. Since I gave a little tutorial because this is our first combat, I believe. So the Kraken is the baby Kraken is not noticing you guys. Rob, your Arthur Windflagon has 3 raises to spend and some harpoons to throw.
Okay. So what can I do with this? Does each raise then correspond to 1 harpoon?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
You guys have a lot of harpoons.
All right, so like I said earlier, Arthur threw the first harpoon, and I'm assuming it hit since I got the raise for it.
It did, and it gets its attention. The harpoon sinks in, and it takes 1 wound of damage.
Okay, and then seeing its reaction, Arthur's going to pick up the big boy spear, the big boy harpoon, extra heavy boy, and huck it at him, trying to aim for his, like, body and not the tentacles.
All right. So I'll tell you right now, you can use 2 of your raises to throw the big one, or 1 of the raises to throw the small one. The big one will do extra damage.
Okay, he's gonna throw the big one with the other 2 raises.
Okay, so you're gonna use the other 2 raises. It takes 3. It takes three normal wounds. It has its first dramatic wound, which means that it's injured. One of its tentacles gets you. The big one just lands right on the tentacle. You get pretty close to, like, the eye, but right on the tentacle, slices it right off. It's down the tentacle and bleeding profusely. But now, of course, because it has a dramatic wound, it's going to get a bonus as this game's mechanics work. It is now to Sinead.
So can I use, like, all 3 of my raises to get a headshot on this thing, like through the eye or something, just with 1 harpoon, or is that too OP?
No, I'll let you do that. This thing's got like a ton of HP, so no, that's fine.
Okay, yeah, that's what I want to do then.
All right, so you aim the harpoon right in there, and you throw that one harpoon. It gets three wounds of damage, and also will have a slight disadvantage when trying to attack you guys because its sight is gone. You stuck it right through the eyeball and into the head. It's now you can hear it sort of roaring. I don't know why an octopus can, but you know what? This is sci-fi fantasy. So, and I want a dramatic effect. So it is turning towards you guys. You can see it's swimming. It's tentacle. It's missing that tentacle, but still going at about 30 or 40 knots straight towards a small boat. Giuseppe tries to steer it right out of the way and tries to get a good angle for Q. Q, take it away.
Okay, so what do I need to shoot this?
I think, let's see here. Let me check to make sure of the rules. So if you shoot it, you can add raises too to do additional damage, I guess.
Okay.
So you can use two raises, and then it gets... also, don't forget, if you can, I know I keep saying this, you can also bank your raises for later, because that might come in handy in combat. You can avoid things, but don't forget to bank your raises if you want.
Right. I'm going to still just use these two on this initial first shot.
All right, so you aimed a blunderbuss. Can you tell me exactly how it looks?
Yeah, Q is trying to steady themselves on the ship, which is tossing a little bit with the waves and with the movement of people rushing and throwing harpoons. And much like the, you know, the art book where it has the picture of this person firing off a spell and like shooting a gun into the air, I push the gun straight forward, like close one eye. They're shooting it with their right hand, but you know, they're ambidextrous, and fire off.
The little hand cannon jolts up, your arm goes straight up with the massive kickback of the weapon. It flies forward and hits the same eye that Sinead had. It takes one dramatic wound plus two smaller wounds. It is now at three dramatic wounds, which means it's getting some massive bonuses when it's its turn. But it took some heavy damage. This thing is well on its way to dying. It looks very angry, and it's smoldering at the top of its eye. Giuseppe's turn. Giuseppe is going to steer it out of the way to try and get, try and avoid any tentacle attacks. And it is now the Kraken's turn. Are you guys ready?
No. Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Let's get it.
Okay. You can avoid, use spend raises if you have any banked to avoid the wounds if any happen to come on to you guys. The Kraken is tired of taking all this from you guys. It was just minding its own business. Granted, it would have loved to devour you, so it's not innocent, but still. And it's been shot multiple times. It's finally reached your small boat. It's seven left tentacles shoot out of the ocean and try and smash each of you guys. And we are going to roll that damage. Okay. That is four raises. It's going to first at Q. It's kind of grumpy about the massive damage. It's going to smash a tentacle close to Q. Q, it's going to swipe right at the arm that you had holding the gun. It's going to knock the gun out of your hand and into the ocean, and you take two wounds.
So if I use a raise, I can keep that from happening?
You can use one raise to avoid one wound. So two raises to avoid both.
If I take the wound, could I hold on to the gun? Like if I use, I only have one raise is the thing, but I really don't want to lose this gun.
The gun is, you cannot hold on to the gun. It's the force of a giant. Two raises, I'd let you hold on to the gun, but one is not enough to hold on. All right. So you take two wounds. You still have your one raise banked from earlier. The ship, your 12 HP ship, now has two wounds as well. For it sinks, and you guys all go down. It's going to take its another tentacle and smash it right onto Arthur for the harpooning he was doing. Arthur, take two wounds or spend raises to avoid them.
Okay. So if you get four wounds, and that's a dramatic wound, and then...
Yes.
Okay. So I'm confused because I have a spell that lets me cure five wounds for every for every rank you have in this glamour. I only have one rank, but dramatic wounds are not healed. So what would that even do if I got a dramatic wound and I just erase the four other minor wounds?
You first.
Well, because I was reading about dramatic wounds last session, because you take them whenever you, like, you know, do something that requires it. But I think that you can only get rid of dramatic wounds if you take, like, specific RP downtime or wait until the end of the session. So I think it just wouldn't do anything
to your dramatic wound. It's supposed to take you, like, if you're about to get your second dramatic wound, it can take you down to one again. Like, I don't think you can, if that makes sense.
It's useless to use when you have one dramatic wound, because it's like you'd be getting rid of the four minor wounds, but you'd still have the dramatic wound.
But so if you have a dramatic wound and three minor ones, then it'd be pretty useful.
Yeah. But so, like, if the minor wounds were healed and you still had the major wounds, we still have to get four minor... No, that wouldn't make sense. Okay, I'll just use that when I'm about to get another major wound. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I think the point where it really matters starts depending on, like, how many wounds on an average round a villain deals to you. It's like taking a healing potion, you know?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So the ship takes two more wounds, as it were, and it has eight left. We are now back to Q, who still has one raise left, if you want to use it for anything at all.
Did it not attack me?
Nope.
All right. Cool.
It didn't have enough raises. Didn't roll amazing.
Cool.
I think I will hold on to this raise for now.
All right. So that is the end of the round. What would you guys like to do next? Keep in mind that you will not get a bonus die if you choose to use the same skills.
So is there a way that I can repair wounds to the ship?
Absolutely.
That's going to be
sailing plus... Well, I guess you still wouldn't get a bonus because you already used sailing. But
yeah.
Let me see if I can throw you a bone real quick. Because that's I like that. I'm going to see if...
I mean, that would probably be my best roll if I were to do sailing, because it's higher than anything else I have.
True. Yeah, we're going to... I guess it is. I can also, at some point, as the DM, just give you guys an extra bonus if I like what you do. I might save it, but good point. So that's going to be sailing plus resolve.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Arthur?
I want to see if I can do something creative here. I don't know what this would exactly do for us. I mean, I guess... So is there... Can I look for, like, a net on the ship?
Yeah. It's going to take you your sequence to look for one, so it's going to be notice plus wits.
Oh, and that'll just take my turn.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, because it'll only take you one ways to do it, and you can bank those two to do something else at the end of it.
Okay, that's
turns right. Go until everyone's out of raises or decides to bank it, so we move. You can still do something.
All right,
but you have to spend one of your raises to do it. So if you only get one raise, you're going to grab the net and then stand there.
I want to look for, like, a net or something else that I can, like, attach to a harpoon so that if I stick him with one, it'll, like, tie him up and make it hard for him to, like, run away anymore.
Okay, that's a good plan. All that running that a Kraken does.
Well, it's fast, so if it's, like, it has to reposition for attacking it, and then, like, if I tie up its tentacles, like, I don't know, GG.
No, it's a good move. I was just saying, you said run away instead of swim away, and I was trying to make fun of you for it.
Yeah, Olympic-level sprinters, those Krakens.
So it'll be one way raise to find one. There is one on the ship, but you have to find it. So After that, you can decide, you can attach one and then throw it and use whatever raises you have left to inflict some wounds.
All right, what rolls would those be?
Oh, that's those would be that would be aim plus finesse.
To find the stuff?
No, to find it, it's convince plus wits, sorry.
Okay.
And Q?
I'm going to try and scare the Kraken away. Like, okay. I'm going to try and threaten it with, like, holding a harpoon, jabbing near it, like I'm going to strike.
All right, you're going to need 5 raises to scare it. That's intimidate plus panache.
Okay. We're going to need some good luck here. I don't think I'm going to get it.
It's possible. You can reroll the exploding 10, so you can keep doing that.
No, this is my worst roll that I've done yet.
What'd you get?
I didn't even get a single raise.
All right. As a result, I'll tell you what happens because of that in a minute. It is now going to Arthur. How many did you roll?
I got 2 raises.
And Sinead?
Hold on. I haven't rolled yet. Sorry. Okay, so I got 3 raises.
All right, so you go first. You can repair 1 wound to the ship for each raise, and you can also bank them for later to avoid wounds, etc.
I will use 2 raises to add 2 to save 2 harm or whatever, 2 wounds.
All right. You have 1 raise to save for later, and yeah. The ship is up to 10 HP. We're now going to Rob, who's got 2 raises. Use 1 to find the net.
Cool. So I find the net, and then can I use my other one to, like, or I guess, huh. Okay, yeah, I'll use the other one to, like, attach it to the harpoon, and then...
Good plan. Yeah. You take it, and you throw it, and it hits right into the Kraken. It takes 1 wound, because you used your 1 raised, in order to... however, the net is rather weak. It's going to take 2 raises in order to pin down the arms and cause it to have difficulty attacking. Would anybody with the raise like to assist Arthur in taming this Kraken's tentacle?
I'll use that 1 raise I banked from earlier to help.
Awesome. So you leave your position of safety in the stern to go and help Arthur Windflagon wrestle the giant tentacle. And the two of you wrap the net around 2 of the tentacles, disabling them. So it's now down to only 5 and also 1 eye. Things are having a bad day. Not to mention the extra wound it took from Arthur's harpoon thrust. With the damage it's taking, it looks like it's going to be a short battle before you guys know it. Now it is going to Q, who did not get any raises. When you abandon this position of safety as you're running to assist Arthur, the Kraken takes one of its free tentacles and whips you atop the head, trying to grab you and pull you into the ocean. It does not pull you into the ocean, but you do take 1 wound unless you have a raise to avoid it.
Nope. Fresh out.
The good news is it did not hit the ship. The ship doesn't take any damage. Would anybody like to use raises to do anything else before... Or actually, it's Giuseppe's turn. 1 second. Giuseppe... Let's roll for Giuseppe. He again tries to steer the ship around the Kraken to get a better angle. And he does... not do very well. Some bad luck on the dice. Wow. Oh, someone's got to calculate that probability someday.
Did you just roll, like, quadruple ones or something like that?
He got 2 and a 2 and a 3. So he steers it into the Kraken, and the Kraken takes 1 wound. The ship takes 2 wounds. Way to go, Giuseppe. Anyway, anyone like to use any raises for anything before we go to the next round? Or before the Kraken goes?
Wish I could.
All right. The Kraken's turn... The Kraken is going to take its 5 remaining tentacles, and it's got that slight disadvantage, so I'm going to take 1 die away because it's the 2 of the tentacles are wrapped up in the net by our intrepid explorers. 5d10. Here we go. Reroll the 10. Oh, didn't matter. Just short of a 4th raise. So it gets 3 raises. It's going to use all 3 on Giuseppe, who gets his first dramatic wound, if I'm calculating this correctly, because he had it from earlier. He takes one of the tentacles, reaches in, grabs Giuseppe and squeezes him, and he tries to make his way out of it. He is stuck within this within the Kraken's death grip and cannot get out. He smashes Giuseppe onto the surface of the ship, which takes 3 more damage. Giuseppe, in response, takes out a dagger and stabs it right into the tentacle that's holding him and cuts it open. The tentacle starts bleeding. It shoots all over the boat, and the Kraken screams its loudest as it takes 2 last wounds to conquer the rest of its HP and slips into the ocean, dead as can be.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.